Lecture topic, deflate your ego from the crave for fame, part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu Alal Mab'uthi Rahmatan Lil Alameen, Wa Ala Alihi Wa Ashabihi Wa Man Walahum Bi Ihsanin Ila Yawmid Deen Wa Ba'd. Faqad Qala Jalla Wa Ala Fi Kitabihil Majid Wa Furqanihil Hamid, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: ما ذئبان جائعان أرسلا في غنم بأفسد لها من حرص المرء على المال والشرف لدينه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and listeners, we are living in a time, period and era that is dominated by poverty. Let me qualify that statement. It might sound strange. A significant percentage of the world is gripped in the common poverty to which we all identify: shortage of food, shortage of drink, living below the breadline, abject poverty. And the other half of the world, I'm afraid, is gripped in the hunger for power, for fame, and for recognition. So the entire world across is gripped in hunger. Some are hungry for food and others are hungry for fame. The most tragic situation would be where the masses of a nation are gripped in hunger for food and the leadership are divided in their hunger for power. While both these hungers pose a threat to our existence and constantly hamper the formation of an ideal society, the latter hunger, and that is the hunger for fame, the hunger for power, the hunger for glory, at times poses a greater threat than the hunger for food. A hungry man would potentially snatch a morsel or steal a loaf of bread, but Allah forbid, when a man becomes hungry for fame, he will even kill in the process to secure his position. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Kanzul Ummal, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذْ غَدَى أَحَدُكُمْ فِي حُلَّةٍ وَرَاحَ فِي حُلَّةٍ أُخْرَى. O my Sahaba, what will be your condition when you will have an exclusive garment for the morning and an exclusive garment for the evening? وَسَتَرْتُمْ بُيُوتَكُمْ كَمَا تُسْتَرُ الْكَعْبَةِ. And you will decorate your homes like how you take pride in decorating the Kaaba. Sahaba in one voice said, نَحْنُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ خَيْرِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Prophet of Allah, on that day we will be in a better footing. Nabi alayhi salam said, no, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ خَيْرِ. Let me set the record correctly. You are better off today. That day, today you are hungry for food and it's not available. That day food will be ample, but the hunger will be for the blood of your brother. Wallah, Islam has the solution to rid the world of both the hungers, the hunger for food and the hunger for fame, if only we can implement it. If you study the inaugural speeches of the Khulafa'i Rashideen and those that followed them in nobility and virtue, then every one of them categorically said, I don't want to be the leader. Don't nominate me, don't appoint me, don't delegate me, don't put me to represent you. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, مَا حَرَسْتُ عَلَيْهَا لَيْلَةً وَلَا يَوْمًا وَلَا سَأَلْتُ اللَّهَ سِرًّا وَلَا إِعْلَانًا. Allah be my witness, I never made dua to be a leader, nor secretly, nor openly. I never aspired for it, neither by night nor by day. I am telling you, I cancel this bay'ah that you have made to me. Appoint someone else. When Umar radiallahu anhu took the reins of the Islamic empire, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِبْتَلَانِي بِكُمْ وَبْتَلَاكُمْ بِي. Allah has tested you by putting me in charge. And Allah has tested me by seeing how I govern over you. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. The concluding verses of the 18th juz in Surah Furqan, Allah says, we have made one as a test for the other. In the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani, it is written, that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the provocation of the disbelievers is there to examine your level of sabr, and your presence is there to see their level of compliance and obedience. So study all the khulafa, every one of them said it. Someone asked Umar radiallahu anhu, what are the qualities of a leader? He said, قَوِيٌّ مِنْ غَيْرِ عُنْفٍ لَيِّنٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ ضُعْفٍ جَوَّادٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ صَرْفٍ مُمْسِكٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ بُخْلٍ. He said he has to be strong yet not harsh. He has to be gentle yet not weak. He has to be generous yet not extravagant. He has to withhold yet not mise. What did Umar radiallahu anhu said? Who should be a leader? The person قَوِيٌّ مِنْ غَيْرِ عُنْفٍ. Unfortunately today we are harsh, we are not strong. لَيِّنٌ مِنْ غَيْرِ ضُعْفٍ. He must be gentle, he must be passive, he mustn't be weak. Today we are weak, unfortunately we are not gentle. He has to be generous, but he mustn't be extravagant. Our get-together here today is on a spiritual note, and hence we have to navigate the way spiritually. In the terminology of suluk, and in the vocabulary of tazkiyah, reformation of oneself, this malady is referred to as hubbejah, the desire, the crave, the aspiration for fame and recognition. I must excel, I must remain in charge, I must decide, I must dictate. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the hadith I quoted before you, مَا ذِئْبَانِ جَائِعَانِ أُرْسِلَا فِي غَنَمٍ بِأَفْسَدَ لَهَا مِنْ حِرْسِ الْمَرْءِ عَلَى الْمَالِ وَالشَّرَفِ لِدِينِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. That if two hungry wolves are released in a flock of sheep, the havoc they will cause, the chaos they will cause, is nothing in comparison to the havoc that the crave of wealth and the crave of fame will do to the iman of an individual. Dissect the hadith. Unpack it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not referred to the crave of wealth and the crave of fame as one wolf. He said they are distinct wolves, which means these are distinct maladies and they need vigorous treatment. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya alayhi rahma nawwar Allahu marqadahu, he used to say the last malady that will leave the heart of a man, if he diligently tries to reform himself and he is fortunate enough that it leaves him, would be the malady of the crave of fame. This is the last thing that would leave his life. I was reading in one of the writings of Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah. He said, when my father Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi passed away, we received letters of condolences from scholars across the globe. And amongst them, Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayhi also wrote a letter to me and my brother Mufti Rafi Sahab. He said, listen, O Mufti Taqi, my condolences to you on the demise of your father, but I would like to speak to you as a brother. There is a subtle malady of the ego. There is a hidden disease of the ego. And that is when you are the son of a great person and your father passes away, your ego craves to latch onto the fame of your late father. I write to you as a brother, O Mufti Taqi. And politely, I read the letter. It made my hair stand on end. I write to you as a brother, you're a great man. Let not your ego hanker for the fame of your late father. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, إِنَّمَا الْفَتَى مَنْ يَقُولُ هَا أَنَا ذَا وَلَيْسَ الْفَتَى مَنْ يَقُولُ كَانَ أَبِي وَكَانَ جَدِّي. Talented is that individual who displays conduct and not one who craves for the fame of his late father. That is why the Arabic poet said, كُنْ إِبْنَ مَنْ شِئْتَ وَاكْتَسِبْ أَدَبًا يُغْنِيكَ مَحْمُودُهُ عَنِ النَّسَبِ. That you can be the son of anyone. You reform yourself. Make the tazkiyah of your inner self. يُغْنِيكَ مَحْمُودُهُ عَنِ النَّسَبِ. The purification of your character will make you independent of the nobility of your lineage. رَأَيْتُ الْعِلْمَ صَاحِبُهُ كَرِيمٌ وَلَوْ وَلَدَتْهُ آبَاءٌ لَئِيمُ. The Arabic poet said, Those who acquired taqwa, Allah gave them honor, even if they came from a simple home which had no social standing. So imagine you're a man of the caliber of Mufti Taqi Sahib Hafidhahullah. Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayhi writes to him as a brother. He takes the advice seriously, and it's written there, he said, make a concerted effort. Deflate your ego. Don't live on this year that I want to be introduced through the fame of my late father. There is a quotation mentioned in the footnotes of Tanwirul Adhan. Malik bin Dinar Rahmatullah Alayhi says, I was walking, so I passed by a young boy that was playing. So I took few steps, and then my guilt, something within me whispered to me and said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yusallimu ala sibyan. You know what? I ignored this boy that was playing, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to greet the children. I think, let me take a step back. There's nothing I will lose. Let me greet him. So I took a step back and I said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I greeted the young boy who was playing. So he said, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the manner in which he greeted me, it gave off a reflection of the competence, the maturity, the integrity of this boy. So I said, let me engage the boy. I said, Ya walad, ma al-farq bayn al-aql wa al-nafsi? Tell me, my young boy, you playing, I want to ask you a simple question. Once upon a time, the spirituality of children that were playing was greater than today, you know, the so-called pious of today. He said, what an answer. نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي مَنَعَتْكَ عَنِ السَّلَامِ وَعَقْلُكَ الَّذِي حَرَّدَكَ عَلَيْهِ. Malik bin Dinar asked him, tell me the difference of the human ego and the human intellect. He said, Malik, will you listen? He said, of course I will listen. He said, your ego is what made you ignore me and not greet me. And your intelligence is what told you, come back, greet him, even if he's a boy. Muhammad saw some greeted children. نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي مَنَعَتْكَ عَنِ السَّلَامِ. Why? Because I'm too great. And really, this is why we have come here. I am making my wazaif. I am spending my time. But is my character changing? Salma ibn Dinar rahmatullah alayhi told his son, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ تَتْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسُ إِلَّا وَيُقْبِلُ عَلَىٰ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ هَوَاهُ وَعِلْمُهُ ثُمَّ يَتَغَالَبَانِ فِي صَدْرِهِ تَغَالُبَ الْمُتَخَاصِمَيْنِ فَإِذَا غَلَبَ عِلْمُهُ هَوَاهُ كَانَ يَوْمُهُ يَوْمَ غُنْمٍ لَهُ. Listen, oh my son, every day that the sun rises, a fresh attack is launched on every student across the globe. What are the two rivals? What are the two opponents? إِلَّا وَيُقْبِلُ عَلَىٰ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ عِلْمُهُ وَهَوَىٰ. His ego and his knowledge. يَتَغَالَبَانِ فِي صَدْرِهِ تَغَالُبَ الْمُتَخَاسِمَيْنِ. And they fight in him vigorously. Abandon your studies. Why are you sitting at the feet of these scholars? You can access information through other means. But if he ignores the provocations of the ego and responds to the whispers of knowledge, كَانَ يَوْمُهُ يَوْمَ غُنْمٍ لَهُ, then tell him that was the greatest day in his life, even if on that particular day he didn't know his dars and his lesson, but that was the greatest day in his career. وَإِذَا غَلَبَ هَوَاهُ عِلْمًا. And Allah forbid, if he succumbs to the provocation of his ego, and he complies to the whispers and the tricks of his ego, so he plays truant from lesson, he starts chatting online, and he does all these crimes, كَانَ يَوْمُهُ يَوْمَ خُسْرَانٍ عَلَيْهِ, then that is the worst day of his life, even if it coincides with his graduation. Malik bin Dinar said, when this boy gave me this answer, I was blown off my feet. I said, can I ask you a next question? He said, by all means. I said, لِمَ تَلْعَبُ بِالتُّرَابِ? Why are you playing with sand? He said, لِأَنَّا خُلِقْنَا مِنْهُ وَنَعُودُ إِلَيْهِ. Because Allah created me from sand, and I'm going to return to sand. The only difference is, my brother, when your body comes to that grave, the angel calls out, يَبْنَ آدَمْ خُلِقْتَ مِنَ التُّرَابِ وَعُدْتَ إِلَى التُّرَابِ خُلِقْتَ بِلَا ذَنْبٍ وَعُدْتَ وَكُلُّكَ ذُنُوبُ. Oh man, your journey started here. You ultimately return here. But we dispatch you as a clean soul. What happened that you have come as an embodiment of vice, drenched in sin? So I said, third question I got to ask you, oh young boy. لِمَ الذِّحْكُ وَالْبُكَى. Sometimes I watch you playing, then you smiling. Then I watch, there's a frown on your face, your eyes are moist, and there's a tear. There is a tear trickling down your cheeks. He said, ذَكَرْتُ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّي فَضَحِكْتُ وَذَكَرْتُ عَذَابَهُ فَبَكَيْتُ. Sometimes while playing, I have a flash of the mercy of Allah and I smile. And sometimes while I playing, I have a flash of the torment of Allah and automatically my eyes become moist. Imagine a youngster at that time, what was his condition of taqwa? We don't have that condition in the month of Ramadan, in the last 10 nights, in the blessed land at the Kaaba. So in the terminology of tazkiyah, we refer to this crime, coming back to what I was saying, as hubbejah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned it concurrently. Two things. There is the crave of fame and there is the crave of wealth. These are distinct maladies, yet the scholars tell us there is a common thread that binds the two. There is a common thread that binds the two. And what is it? A person craves for wealth, for husool and manafi'. That when I have my money, then I can purchase what I want. So I constantly need to secure my income so that I can buy what I want. And it is this very reason and motivation to secure my comforts, that is why I want to preserve my fame. Because many a times fame will secure more privileges than money can possibly secure. So the ego hankers for fame more than it hankers for money. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written in his Ihya, Man malaka al-jaha faqad malaka al-mala taba'an. Wa man malaka al-mala lam yamlik al-jaha fi kulli hal. Very deep words of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi. A person who is famous, we take these celebrities, they are paid to wear a t-shirt. Why? Because it's a mobile billboard. If you wear this t-shirt, the advertisement that we will get out of that is greater than a fixed billboard. So for a celebrity just to whisper his need, there will be thousands to offer it. So a person who has fame, then his needs are fulfilled by the way. But on the reverse, if a man has money, that doesn't automatically secure fame. So the crave for fame is greater than the crave for wealth. Now I just want to mention one incident from the Quran, and from there we can deduce certain points and draw certain important lessons. It was ghaliban the fourth year or the fifth year of Hijrah. And the Muslims went in campaign, Ghazwatu Bani al-Mustaliq. Surah Munafiqun was revealed in this regard. On the side of the Muslims were the Munafiqeen. And Allah gave victory to the Muslims. They halted at a place, Muraysi', that was the name of a well. That's why it's known as Ghazwatul Muraysi' as well. So anyway, after the battle, there was an intense, you know, shower of arrows. And Allah gave victory to the Muslims. It was relatively hiccup-free. The disbelievers had to face a setback. And after everything was over and the Muslims were returning, here came a glitch. And this also Allah teaches us lessons. On the occasion of Khandaq, when Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu proposed the idea of digging the trenches, and it was welcomed, it was accepted. And then the Prophet ﷺ made pockets of Sahaba, you dig here, you dig here, you dig there. And everybody said, we want Salman, because he proposed the idea, so he's familiar with the concept. So the Prophet ﷺ promoted him and said, Salmanu minna ahlul bayt. Salman is part of the family and the household of the Prophet ﷺ. But on a subtle note, in the doings of Allah, everybody dug and it went free. Salman radiallahu anhu faced the biggest obstacle and he couldn't break through and penetrate the boulder. The scholars say the subtle message was, let not your reliance be on Salman radiallahu anhu. He proposed the idea and brought the concept, but let your reliance be on Allah. Even the very man who initiated it, he faced a setback. So here comes an issue, a muhajir and an ansari. The muhajir is Jahjah radiallahu anhu, the ansar is Sinan radiallahu anhu. They have an argument and an altercation, and it becomes a bit unpleasant. The muhajir, Sahabi Jahjah radiallahu anhu, calls out to the muhajirin, Ya lal muhajirin. That all my muhajir friends come. The Ansari Sahabi calls out to his ansars, Ya lal ansar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard these slogans flavored with racism. He said, Ma balu da'wal jahiliya. Da'uha fa innaha muntina. I am hearing the slogans of the era of darkness. Da'uha, put an end to it. It gives off a stench. It gives off a foul smell. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, Amitul batila bitarki dhikri. Put an end to evil by avoiding its discussion. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ nipped it in the bud, brought calmness to the situation. The matter was analyzed, and in the context and the climate of this situation, the mistake somehow was of the Muhajir Sahabi radiallahu anhu. Look at the intellect and the intelligence and the maturity of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. When he heard in this situation the mistake was of the Muhajir radiallahu anhu, he came to Sinan radiallahu anhu and started encouraging him and gave him the virtues of forgiving. Today we'll come and instigate. Sue for defamation, take legal advice. You got nothing to worry about. Ubadah ibn Samit comes to Sinan radiallahu anhu and he says, oh my brother, forgive him. Whatever he has said, he encourages him, he motivates him. Sinan radiallahu anhu said, I'll accept your advice and I will forgive him. Cutting a long story short, he overlooks his brother. This thing is over. The news reaches Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, who was the leader of the Munafiqeen. Again, this ties up with my topic. When I'm talking of the crave of fame, which is one of the deepest maladies of the ego, I am not taking it to the political arena. I am talking within our own circles. This crave that I should be on the top, and I should be pulling, and I should be dictating. After all, what led to the formation of the Munafiq movement? When Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul was the leader, on the verge of being inaugurated, and it coincided with the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina Munawwara, and obviously the focus shifted from him and went on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this became a bitter pill that fame has been snatched away from me and it has been given to someone else. And this is where it started. Now, just recently in the holidays, we went to India. So, you know, sometimes Allah sends these amazing reminders and they come in such strange ways. We were driving in Gujarat and I read a bumper sticker. But Allah be my witness, it left me thinking for the entire journey. Listen to this, I will say it in Urdu. It was written like this. Aaj log apne dukh se dukhi nahi hai, dusro ke sukh se dukhi hai. Aaj log apne dukh se dukhi nahi hai, dusro ke sukh se dukhi hai. Today people are not depressed and miserable and isolated and suicidal because of their agony. They are miserable because they don't have the strength to see the prosperity of others. They cannot see the fame of others. They cannot see the acceptance of others. This thing hit my heart. You know, the Arabic poet said, أُطَهِّرُ أَثْوَابِي وَقَلْبِي مُدْنَسٌ أُطَهِّرُ أَثْوَابِي وَقَلْبِي مُدْنَسٌ وَأَخْشَى سِهَامَ الْمَوْتِ تَفْجَأُ غَفْلَةً وَمَا سَارَ بِي نَحْوَ الرَّسُولِ رِكَابُ وَقَلْبِي مَعْمُورٌ بِحُبِّ مُحَمَّدٍ فَمَا لِي فِي غَيْرِ الْحِجَازِ طِلَابُ يَحُنُّ إِلَى أَوْطَانِهِ كُلُّ مُسْلِمٍ فَقُدِّسَ مِنْهَا مَنْزِلٌ وَجَنَابُ. In essence, he says, I am meticulous to clean my clothes, yet second by second my heart gets deeper in its pollution. In Kitab al-Zuhd of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayh, Amr ibn Maymun al-Azdi makes mention of a narration. He said, لَمَّا تَعَجَّلَ مُوسَى إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ. When Musa alayhi salam came to Allah at Mount Tur, and then there was a flesh of the countenance of Allah. There was a flesh, and when there is that flesh, then the veil of Maghibat is lifted. So he got a glimpse of the throne of Allah. In Kitab al-Zuhd of Imam Ahmad it's mentioned. So he's seen one person in the throne of Allah, sitting by the throne of Allah. فَغَبِطَهُ بِمَكَانِهِ. He said, oh my Allah, what a lucky man that is. When you cast your countenance and there was a flesh, my Allah, I seen this man beneath your throne. Who is this man? Allah said, Musa, I won't tell you who he is, but I will tell you what privilege him to get here. سَأُحَدِّثُكَ عَنْ عَمَلِهِ. He had three qualities. كَانَ لَا يَحْسُدُ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهِ. He never harbored jealousy on the privilege of anyone. Number one. Number two, لَا يَعُقُّ وَالِدَيْهِ. He never disobeyed his parents. لَا يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. And in his life, he never carried tails, so he sits beneath my throne. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَهَرٍ فِي مَقَعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ فِي مَقَعَدِ صِدْقٍ عِنْدَ مَلِيكٍ مُقْتَدِرٍ. Verily those that obey Allah, they will be reclining on thrones, sitting next to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the Munafiqeen, he overheard this little altercation. Now he was a Munafiq, but he was a resident of Medina, so he affiliated himself to the Ansar of Medina. Because he was a resident of Medina, so his allegiance was, so to say, with the Ansar. So when he heard this, he said, the problem is we're spending on these Muhajirs too much. Pull the plug on them. Stop your finance. That will compel them to leave Medina and go. That is why they have become so provocative and they are arguing against us. Stop your funds. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Muhammad, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ أَلَّنْ يُخْرِجَ اللَّهُ أَذْغَانَهُمْ وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَأَرَيْنَاكَهُمْ فَلَعَرَفْتَهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do these munafiqeen think Allah will never expose the hypocrisy of their hearts? In Ma'riful Quran, under the commentary of this ayah, the quotation of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu is mentioned. He used to say, when a person conceals evil in his heart, when a man's heart has vice and evil, Allah will expose the evil of his heart by the slip of his tongue. Uthman ibn Affan said, radiallahu anhu, when you conceal evil and you have a nasty agenda, Allah will reveal it, expose it, divulge it by the slip of a tongue. So he slipped out and he made this remark. Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu intercepted this information, bounced it off his uncle, relayed it direct to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the inflammatory, derogatory remarks. that he is making. And another thing he said, and that ties up with the topic. لَإِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. If we go back to Medina, we are the honorable. Fame belongs to me. Recognition is mine. Glory is mine. How dare you speak in front of me? لَإِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. We the honorable people, we will banish them. We will subject them. And we will exile them from Medina. The message was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was extremely disturbed and perturbed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Abdullah ibn Ubay. He called Zayd ibn Arqam radiyallahu anhu. He said, Zayd, have you heard this? He said, yes, O Prophet of Allah, I've heard this. Abdullah ibn Ubay flatly refused. He said, I didn't say anything. The profile of Abdullah ibn Ubay was rather of a high caliber. So somehow he had a way of convincing, and the Quran speaks about the munafiqeen. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They were very impressive, very articulate, very profound in their skills. So it gave off the flavor, that as if Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu had fabricated these words. This created a lot of discord, bickering, and uneasiness in the ranks of Sahaba. On the other hand, look at Abdullah radiallahu anhu, the son of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. In Hayatul Sahaba, the narration is mentioned. He came to Nabi alayhi salam. He said, O Prophet of Allah, let me resolve this whole thing. بَلَغَنِي أَنَّكَ تُرِيدُ قَتْلَ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ ابْنِ أُبَيْ فِي مَا بَلَغَكَ عَنْهُ فَإِنْ كَانَ فَاعِلًا فَمُرْنِي أَحْمِلُ إِلَيْكَ رَأْسَ. O Nabi of Allah, I heard, and I know it's my father that provoked it, and obviously there is a bit of bickering and misunderstanding. Some news has filtered to my ears that you intend to put an end to the evil of my father and you want to kill him. If what has reached my ears is true, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then leave me in charge. I will behead my father and put his head in your lap. But that's not the real amazing thing. He said, إِنِّي أَخْشَىٰ أَن تَأْمُرَ بِهِ غَيْرِي. I know you're an embodiment of kindness and mercy, respecting my sentiments as a child and honoring my obligation to my father. You will delegate someone else to execute the task. Because you know it's my father, so you won't mention this. That Sahabi will diligently comply. He will kill my father, become beloved in your eyes and hated in my eyes, which I don't want to dislike someone you love. Where did Sahaba think? فَلَا تَدَعْنِي نَفْسِي أَنْ أَنْذُرَ إِلَىٰ قَاتِلِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ أُبَيْ يَمْشِي فِي النَّاسِ. My emotions won't allow me to see the murderer of my father roaming the streets of Medina. My human sentiments will overpower me. Perhaps it will compel me. How dare I advance with an agenda over a man who diligently executes your task? O Prophet of Allah, the only way to wiggle myself out of this dilemma, tell me and I will behead my father. Nabi alayhi salam said, بَلْ نَتَرَفَّقُ بِهِ وَنُحْسِنْ صُحْبَتَهُ. I'm afraid that is a lie. We have no intentions of killing your father. We will be polite, courteous, and dignified in the manner in which we deal with him. I mentioned recently on his occasion when he passed away, cutting a long story short. Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, O Rabbi of Allah, my father passed away, give me your shirt. أَعْطِنِي قَمِيصَهُ أُكَفِّنُهُ فِي. Nabi alayhi salam took out his blessed shirt and gave it to Abdullah radiallahu anhu. And then he said, أَذِنِّي, when it's time for janaza, call me, I will lead the prayer. When the time of salah came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up. Umar radiallahu anhu said, تَحَوَّلْتُ حَتَّى قُمْتُ فِي صَدْرِ. I turned around and I held the Prophet of Allah. I said, أَعَلَىٰ عَدُوِّ اللَّهِ أُبَيُّ بْنُ كَعَبْ أُبَيُّ بْنُ عَبْدُ بْنِ أُبَيُّ بْنُ سُلُول أَلْقَائِ الْيَوْمَ كَذَا كَذَا وَكَذَا يُعَدِّدُ أَيَّامَهُ. O Prophet of Allah, wait, hang on. The safs are formed. I need to speak to you. This man caused every pain to you and you lead in his funeral. Umar radiallahu anhu said, وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَتَبَسَّمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told me nothing and he just smiled. Hatta idha aktharatu alayhi, and I kept on interrogating. After I completed my interrogation, he said, akhir anni ya Umar, inni khuyirtu fakhtartu. Umar, you want to do me a favor? Just step back. I've been given a choice and I've chosen to perform the prayer. It's a long hadith. Afterwards, the Prophet ﷺ performs the salah. Subsequent to that, the verses of prohibition are revealed. In Ma'riful Quran, in the fourth volume on page 436, there is a scholastic debate. Why did the Prophet ﷺ give him his shirt when he knows that he was a disbeliever and he died as a disbeliever? There is a narration mentioned here that the Prophet ﷺ displayed an acknowledgement that one day Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salud had given his shirt to Nabi Sallallahu's uncle Abbas on the occasion of Badr to acknowledge and to repay his kindness. The Prophet ﷺ took out his blessed shirt in acknowledgement that this man had given his garment to my uncle on Badr. That is why I am thanking him. And furthermore, it is written, and that's the thing I want to tell you. It's written there with reference to Maghazi. The Prophet ﷺ said, I know it won't change his fate, but I hope my action will soften the grounds for the Khazraj tribe to come closer to Islam. Because of Nabi ﷺ's gesture of giving his blessed garment to Abdullah bin Salul, 1,000 people accepted Islam. How much gratitude do we have? So anyway, Abdullah bin Salul was brought, and this continued, but he argued and he said, O Prophet of Allah, I am innocent. Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu said, وَقَعَ عَلَيَّ مِنَ الْغَمِّ مَا لَمْ يَقَعْ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. I was gripped in so much pain and trauma and stress that nobody knows it. The Prophet ﷺ ordered everybody to travel. Suddenly, instantly, unusually. And the narrator of the hadith says the wisdom was to change the topic among Sahaba. So the Prophet ﷺ said, engage them in something else so this bickering stops. Now why did he say it? Did Zayd ibn Arqam hear it? Was it correct? Did you verify it? There was obviously this type of uneasiness that was filtering. And everybody went on. Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu said, we travel for one day and one night, and in the interim the Prophet ﷺ passed by, araka udhuni wa dhahika fi wajhi. Nabi ﷺ tapped my ear and he smiled at me. Wallahi ma kana yasurruni anna li biha al khuld fi dunya. Nabi alayhi salam looked at me, touched me and smiled. That for me meant more than me being privileged with eternity on this planet earth. Just that Nabi alayhi salam smiled at me one time, that was enough. We went and we halted at a particular place, we slept. When we got up, revelation came on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, call Zayd ibn Arqam. When I came there, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, قَدْ صَدَّقَ اللَّهُ حَدِيثَكَ يَا غُلَامُ. O little boy, let me tell you, Allah has revealed Quran to confirm and echo your sentiments. And Allah has proven your words to be correct and Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul to be a liar. Now I bring you again to that same topic of the crave of fame and the crave of wealth. So Allah revealed the entire surah. And these verses, you know, and this hadith is like a commentary of these verses. Allah exposed two statements of Abdullah bin Ubay ibn Salul. هم الذين يقولون لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا. What did they say? The first statement he made was that stop spending on those that congregate around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now that was an audacity from him to start off. The Sahaba didn't come for money to Medina. The Muhajirin didn't come here to live off the expenses of the Ansar. And if anybody gave them, it was the Ansar, and they gave from the happiness of their heart. It was not Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. So he said, we are giving money and because of them they are coming here. So they come in for our money. So put an end to it so that they will leave. Allah revealed this and responded by saying, وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. Allah said, money doesn't belong to you, money belongs to Allah. The scholars of tafsir have deduced an amazing point here. Allah refuted the fact, don't say we spend it, because it's not your money. And then Allah said, I am the owner of the treasures, which means money per se is not evil, otherwise Allah would have not identified himself as the owner of wealth. Allah wouldn't have said, I'm the owner of the treasure. But immediately Allah said, it's not yours, it's mine, and I own it. Thereafter Allah mentioned his second statement. يَقُولُونَ لَئِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. The second statement that he made was, that if we return to Medina, we are the honorable people. Allah said, honor does not belong to you. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Honor, fame, glory, recognition, status belongs to Allah, to the Prophet and to the believers. So Allah refuted the fact that you don't have. Again, the same point is deduced, that fame per se is not evil because Allah identifies himself as the one with glory. Allah identifies, understand this critically. Now, where do we learn this? We learn this at the feet of our mashaykh. Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned, he said, after I was appointed as the Mufti of Dioban, after I was given the post as the official Mufti, I one day sat down with my Ustad, Maulana Hussain Asghar Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was known as the Muhaddith of Dioban as well. He says, my position was, I was the official Mufti of the institution. I was titled the Grand Mufti, and we sat down to eat. So after we completed eating, my Ustad told me, Mufti Sahab, do you know how to wrap up a tablecloth? So I said, does it? Now look at where he is. What is his rank? What is his position? I'm sitting on this high pedestal. I said, yes, I think I do know. He said, let me teach you. Let me teach you how to wrap up a tablecloth. Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah has written it himself. He said, you see these breadcrumbs, take it. There are ants crawling on the side of the wall. Go give it. There is Allah's makhluk. They will eat from it. He said, you see these bones. You pick this up here. I seen some dogs in the neighborhood. Give it to them. They will eat. Then he took all the peels of the fruit. He said, there are some animals grazing there in the meadows. Go give it to them. As the Quran says, وَالْحَبُّ ذُو الْعَصْفِ وَالْرَّيْحَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Allah says, وَالْحَبُّ ذُو الْعَصْفِ. The inner portion of the food is provision for you. The peel is fodder for your animals. The peel, the covering is fodder for your animals. He said, at that time I realized, at that time I realized that we are indebted to our scholars, that from what we would dispose, three creations of Allah ate from it. Three creations of Allah ate from it. So in this verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about two things. Wealth is not yours, fame is not yours. Wealth belongs to Allah, fame belongs to Allah. Hence also in the hadith that I mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that wealth and fame will destroy your iman. He said the crave of wealth and the crave of fame. مِنْ حِرْسِ الْمَرْءِ عَلَى الْمَالِ وَالشَّرَفِ لِدِينِهِ. We have to create a distinction. The hadith is explicit. So the ulama tell us there are three types of fame. And after that, one is the acquisition of fame, one is the dispensation of fame. Just as there's the acquisition of wealth, there's the dispensation of wealth. There is kasbul mal, there is sarful mal. There is kasbul jah, there is sarful jah. Really, when we read the writings of our mashaykh, And we see, subhanallah, what Allah had favored them with is amazing.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.